Thank you for listening to Ivy Podcast, where we feature weekly leadership conversations with thought leaders and industry experts. Now, here is your host, Cesar Romero.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Ivy Podcast, the podcast for leaders, innovators, and entrepreneurs. I'm your host, Cesar Romero, and today we're going to talk about leveraging the untapped talent of women returning to the workforce with Ashley Connell, founder and CEO at Prowess Project. Ashley is a fearless entrepreneur and women's advocate, and she's committed to changing the lives of women seeking fulfilling work and those affected by the gender pay gap. She's been featured in Forbes, Built in Austin, and South by Southwest. Before founding Prowess Project, Ashley spent over 15 years honing her marketing skills, working for companies like Spiceworks and SanDisk, helping them develop their overall global marketing strategies. In this episode, we talk about Ashley's entrepreneurial journey to founding Prowess Project. We also talk about the barriers for women wanting to return to the workforce after a 2 or 3 year break. Why having a working mom as a leader is better for business, and how Prowess Project helps hiring managers make better hiring decisions. Before diving into today's episode, I want to ask you for a favor, especially if you find this episode valuable, to leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. Just search for Ivy Podcast or click the link in the show notes. This will really help us reach more listeners and expand our impact. Thank you so much for the support. And now let's dive into the show. Ashley, thank you so much for being on the Ivy Podcast. I'm excited to dive deeper into the work that you're doing with Prowess Project and how to help women that are returning to the workforce. So thank you so much for being here with us today.
Absolutely. I am pumped. We were talking earlier that this is a highlight of my week, if not my month. So yes, real excited for this conversation.
I love it. So to kick it off, I guess the first question that we have in mind here is tell us a bit more about your background, right? For those that might not be familiar with your work, what's the problem that you're trying to solve with Prowess Project, and how do you come up with the idea?
Yeah, absolutely. So my background, I was in B2B tech marketing for about 15 years. I started with a startup here in Austin, Texas, and was with them. I believe I was employee number 30 and one of the first on the marketing team. So they called me the guinea pig. They gave me all the different projects, and it was my job to see if they sink or swam. Mm-hmm. If they sink, we'd figure out why and push it off to the side. If it swam, we'd hand it off to someone else, and they would really optimize. So with that background, I touched almost all aspects of the business, and they moved me over to London to open up their European office. So was there for 2 years, hopped back over to Austin, bounced around to a couple different technology companies, and then started my own marketing agency with two other partners. So we were doing that. Great experience. It was one of those where we made every mistake in the entrepreneur handbook. Like, you name it, we made it. So learned a ton. And I was sitting there thinking one day, like, what do I want to go do next? Like, mm-hmm. what is it? Or what is it in my life that's not feeling fulfilled? And I realized that for the past 15 years, I had all of this, what I'll call like background anxiety of how I was going to continue this career that I absolutely loved, moved across the world for, and then also have children someday. Mm-hmm. So after having that kind of aha that this was bothering me and realizing I was making all of these decisions because of it, I jumped on Google and was trying to find some statistics or how other people were solving this problem. I then found the horrific Harvard Business Review statistic that truly has changed my life in so many different ways that if they, that 43% of women leave the workforce to raise their children. When they are out for just 3 years, they lose 37% of their compensation power forever.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It is. It's crazy. And it's so discouraging. And so I was sitting there thinking like, oh my God, if that's the decision that I'm going to make, I need to be okay with that huge financial or comp cut forever, which mm-hmm. could equal hundreds of thousands of millions of dollars potentially. Do women even know about this? And what are people doing to solve it? And mm-hmm. so with that, Prowess Project came to life.
I love it. I love that you asked yourself that question of, you know, what's next? What's going to bring me fulfillment? And you started going, you know, down the Google research.
Yeah. It became an obsession. It really, really did. Like, I was just like all on my computer for hours at a time, just trying to figure out like what was going on with this crazy and really disappointing statistic. So how
does Prowess Project is looking to tackle this statistic, right?
Yeah.
And what's your current role there?
Absolutely. So after all of that crazy research, I went out and talked to hundreds of women who were in this scenario. So these are women with between 1 and 3 degrees. They had been in the workforce for 10, 15 years and had been out for, let's say, 2 to 3. Mm-hmm. And they were trying to get back in, and all they could get were unpaid internships.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. We're talking PhDs. Mm-hmm. It was insane.
Yeah.
And so talking to them, their number one barrier to entry that I heard over and over and over again that was shocking to me was confidence. They didn't mm-hmm. have the confidence to get started. And if they did have the confidence, there wasn't an option out there that was a clear path from home to hired for them. And so that's what Prowess Project is today. We're an integrated platform that helps women with first their confidence and career planning, then upskilling and training. What is the latest technology? How do you work remote? Project management, market trends, then also a community so they can network of all like-minded women. And while they're going through that process, we're gathering hundreds of data points on them, on not just their skill and their expertise, but also their behavior style, communication style, learning style, and using all of that to match them up with potential jobs and teams. So what we're finding is the satisfaction of the candidate role fit is so much higher. And for mm-hmm. on the employer side, it's cutting their time to hire and time to ramp in half.
Wow. That's amazing. I mean, there's so many things I want to unpack.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank
yes,
you.
Yes. I guess what, you know, from all this data that you're collecting, mm-hmm. what are some of the common patterns that you have picked up, you know, from the candidates, let's say?
Absolutely. Number one is women underestimate their skill set. Mm-hmm. And that has been a huge part of our training, is to remind women of, let's call it, the hard skills, the professional skills that they had before they were out of the workforce, but also what are the emotional intelligence skills that they have been cultivating at home as a mom and how transferable they are to the workforce. And so that has been absolutely key. And oftentimes that's when we see the light bulb moment for a lot mm-hmm. of these women. Mm-hmm. But then on the other side of the aisle for the employers, once we frame it like that, that makes perfect sense to them too, because everyone has a mom. Everyone knows that hardworking, you know, mother, spouse, sister, friend, whomever, mm-hmm. who can do it all. And so that's what we're cultivating at Prowess, and then making it really easy for employers to access them and hire them.
Yeah, I can totally relate to that, because my wife had to go through something like that, right? Something similar, where she was forced to make that decision between having our daughter or continuing with her career, you know, she had Lucia and everything stopped, right? Mm-hmm. And she had to figure it out on her own, because me as her partner, I don't know any better. Like, there's only so much I could do.
Totally.
To support her.
Totally.
And I wish she has stumbled upon Progress Project, but she had to figure it out on her own, right? How to navigate that and how to get her confidence back. Because in her perspective, developing mom skills is not valuable in the marketplace.
Right. We hear that a lot.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. But in actuality, there is a ton of data, one in particular from the Modern Family Index report, that 89% of American workers believe that having a working mom as a leader is better for business. Wow. And it's because of the better communication that they're developing. It's because of the crisis management. It's because they're more diplomatic. All things that they were forced to cultivate during their time off or while they were becoming a mom. Mm-hmm.
And that was going to be my next question, right? From the employer perspective, you know, what are some of the reasons that they should hire moms or women that are planning to return to the workforce?
Absolutely. I mean, I just listed a ton on the soft skill side, but it all of the women that I meet in through Prowess Project, they feel like everyone has given up on them. And so when these employers hire these women, you get a loyal follower for life. And that is so incredibly important when it comes to hiring, because turnover is so expensive. It's up to 250% of that person's salary if you have to replace someone. So not only are these women extremely loyal to you, but also they're determined. They have a set amount of hours that they need to get the work done. And so you bet they are efficient and effective. So yeah, and that's what we hear over and over and over again.
I agree with that. Just seeing how my wife balances being a mom and her work, I'm just like, wow, how do you get all of this done? Where I'm over here, you know, I mean, I'm still in the household, right?
But, of course.
It's just interesting how that balances out. Now, what has, I guess, what is the overall vision of Progress Project? And what is one of the biggest challenges that you're looking to tackle as a business?
Yes. From the woo-woo standpoint, what we're trying to achieve at Prowess Project is, first, that women can have it all and they don't have to decide between work and caregiving. But even beyond that, that when you're hiring someone or in the workplace, you can bring your full self. If you look at today, whether it is the hiring process or even the workplace in general, you bring one version of yourself to it. Your resume shows your professional skills, where you went to school, and where you've been before. Mm-hmm. Nothing about your personality, nothing about your day-to-day, like how you act, nothing about your communication. And that is a huge pain point that we heard from hiring managers over and over and over again that took up so much of their time. So that is another reason why in our job matching algorithm, we focus so much on the work style communication and learning style compatibility between the team that is hiring and the candidate.
I love that you bring that up, because I personally believe that the resume is a flawed material or tool to showcase your skill sets, right? And it doesn't reveal the whole picture of yourself, right? But unfortunately, it is, I guess, required for most applications out there.
Oh, it is. Yeah.
And I don't understand. I just don't understand, right? Which is why I'm excited that you brought that up, that you want to help moms and women bring their true self, right? Because you cannot separate the two from work,
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And of course, the talent or the moms, women appreciate this, but we're hearing more and more on the hiring manager side of almost this relief. Like when a hiring manager comes to us, it's pretty simple. They fill out a 10-minute form. We get on a 30-minute conversation. Mm-hmm. We put that data into our algorithm. And within three-ish days, they get a link with three different profiles, each with a compatibility score. So instead of looking at hundreds of resumes, we're sending them the top three candidates. And these profiles show so much more than you would get in a resume. It shows examples of work. It shows testimonials. It shows an intro video so you can get to know the person. Just again, thinking about this from a 360 standpoint and how you are hiring the whole person when you offer or when you hand over that offer letter.
That is awesome. I'm like getting excited over here.
Oh, yes. I love it.
I stumbled upon this statistic today actually on how the average application gets 250 resumes. Wow. on average. So the fact that you're helping on the recruiting side narrow it down to three or four, that's huge.
So thank you for saying that, because as a hiring manager myself, that's exactly how I feel. Who has time to go through 250 resumes when oftentimes they all look the same because yes. They're optimized for the applicant tracking system, which is just looking at keywords. And so it's just, to me, it just doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. To your point before, it's a flawed system.
Exactly. I could talk about this. And I wanted to go back to... because you mentioned in your, I guess, your first entrepreneurial journey, you made a bunch of mistakes. And I wanted to ask you about, I guess, your favorite mistake, you know, a lesson that you learned through that mistake that you, that you carry on to Progress Project now.
First and foremost is trust my gut. I was in a position where I was... And I will completely own this. I think I got in my head that my opinion was not worth as much as everyone else's. And so there were some times that I let things slide or didn't speak up when I wish I had. And that was such a good lesson in not only self-worth, but also leadership and being aware that people oftentimes feel that way. So even when I'm running a meeting or I'm having a conversation, looking for that. So that's a huge one. And then if I can give you a second one, we had a whale of a client. So one massive, massive, massive client and maybe like two or three small ones on the side. So as soon as we lost that whale, we were hosed.
Got it.
We'll never make that decision or make that mistake again. Never, never, never.
So you had like a single point of failure almost.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, or
exactly.
A single point of revenue.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. It made us very, very vulnerable.
Now, going back to the first one, because I know there's a lot of people out there that might struggle with speaking up, right? Especially in a remote environment, right?
Yeah.
What are some of your recommendations on how to get better at this? Because I struggle as well, right? And women probably even more, right? Just because how the system is set up. So what would you recommend?
Absolutely. So we do these events called Mentel All. And what it is we get 3 to 4 male leaders in the community on a panel, and we're asking them questions about gender equality in the workforce and how they see it from their perspective. Typically, the audience is mixed, but heavily female. And what ends up happening is it's much less of a panel they're talking and more of a discussion. And one of the key things that came out of one of those was how the differing definition of confidence for men and women. For men, confidence typically means fake it till you make it. Like just throw it out there and, you know, what is that saying? Like you get bigger on the screen and have a deep voice and speak loud and you'll seem confident. People will believe what you're saying.
Yeah.
For women, confidence means I have all the available information to make the best decision possible. So let's say you're in a meeting, a team meeting. It is not particularly surprising that men are going to be the one who are shouting out ideas, who are contributing, who seem very engaged when oftentimes women are just as engaged, but they're more taking in all the information and oftentimes may have a really great decision 30 minutes after the meeting or at the very end of the meeting. And oftentimes may not speak up for themselves, but wait to be asked. And so just even understanding and being aware of those differences, I think help so much on both sides. A, if you are more of the person who throws out ideas, be mindful of the fact that other people have ideas too, or may need more time to digest. And then on the other end, know that, yes, I need time to digest. So do I request an agenda ahead of time? Do I send my manager afterward a follow-up email or a follow-up email to the whole group saying, hey, had some time to think. Here are my three ideas. Would love to chat about it more. So this is particularly hard in the remote world, but I'm seeing that again, this empathy and this awareness of the differences are really, really helping.
So happy that you brought that up, because I have a coworker and she's exactly what you're describing. She likes to listen in, gather some of the different data points, and then speak based on data, based on what she's listened. And everybody has a different communication style, right? So definitely having awareness and the empathy, and it ties back to one of your key components with Progress Project, which is emotional intelligence, right? So you know, especially now that we're remote, or it's important to be self-aware how your coworkers or your teammates communicate. I saw that you recently pitched Progress Project, and I wanted to ask you about that experience. You know, what was that experience like pitching, and if you can share with us, you know, some of the biggest lessons that you learned in pitching your startup.
When you say pitching, do you mean for funding or pitching just in general for awareness, or which in particular?
I think this one particular I saw on LinkedIn was for funding, I think.
Yes. It's very, very, very hard. what I love about what we are doing right now is it is an open conversation so that I can say A, B, and C, and say B is very, very interesting to you, you can dive deeper into it. Mm-hmm. I think what scares me, quite frankly, about pitching is there is an equation to what a pitch typically should be, but oftentimes that may not be what the most exciting or biggest opportunity that the company has. It may not fall into that equation or to that format.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so that's always dangerous, right? Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of times women in particular and founders of color feel like they have to do it the way that's always been done because they're already coming from a place behind, right? They already have all of these other barriers. And so they're trying to fit into a box that wasn't built for them. And so sometimes I just wish I was like, you know, screw the format. Let me do it my way. And chances are you're going to get to know the business better, me better, and be much more excited about it. So anyway, am I extremely grateful for any opportunity to pitch? You betcha. But it's something that I wish sometimes I would take even my own advice and mix things up.
I love it. I love your confidence. And I want to ask that question, right? Because there might be members in the audience that might be thinking about either starting a business or pitching, right? So I wanted to get your perspective, especially your mindset going into pitching your startup, which is not easy. Yeah, it's not definitely not easy, and it takes a lot of practice, right? Yes,
I have so much to say about this. So I thought getting funded would be way easier than it was. I think that that's what every first time technology founder or, you know, feels is, oh, I mean, how bad can this actually be? Or my project's different, or my blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. What's hard about being a CEO and pitching for funding is a full-time job. 100%.
That's what I've heard.
If you're focused on that, then you're not running your business. And so you need other people in order to do that, because it is impossible to do both. We learned that the hard way. So I was spending 30% of my time trying to raise money, and we weren't nearly as successful as we could be, because I wasn't giving it the effort that I could have, or that they say you need to, I should say.
Right. Yeah.
So there is that. I think also that pop culture has glamorized VC funding. And I think there's so many different ways of funding. And I personally believe that the top entrepreneurs that we should be truly celebrating are the ones who bootstrapped, or the ones who funded through their customers. I know that's not possible for all business models. I know there's a lot of hardware costs or startup costs. And so I say that with a grain of salt, but to me, those are always the stories that get me really excited, is the ones of the people who just dug deep and instead focusing on raising money, focused on truly getting to know their customers and sell.
I love that you brought that up, right? Because VC and funding, it depends on your circumstance. It depends on the business model. It depends on the market. But I agree with you. If you can self-fund it, bootstrap it, that's the better way to go, I guess, in my opinion, because you have ownership, right, of the vision of the business. So.
Absolutely. And again, to your point, I want to stress, it's not right for every business. Not every business can do it. However, one of my advisors said this, and I thought that it was so smart. Even if you have a hardware business or a business that needs a lot of startup capital, you can always have a section of your business that's focused on consulting. And so you can fund your business through the side consulting that you're doing and fund it that way. And I really liked that, because it gave me more control and also made me realize that a business doesn't have to, again, fit in a box and look a certain way. You can get really creative. And of course, there's bank loans and all sorts of other options too.
Yeah, 100%. I had never considered that consulting. Yeah. That's an easy, low hanging fruit to get some money in the door. Yeah.
Right.
Now let's go back to your customer, you know, the women that you're trying to serve, right? Let's say I'm a woman that is considering returning to the workforce, right? I have all these fears and thoughts in my head about how that might be the best idea, whatever.
Sure.
What would you recommend? Like, where should I start, right? Because that can be very overwhelming for someone that it's been 2 or 3 years out of the workforce, right? Like, what are some of the things that I should consider if I'm in this position?
Absolutely. First and foremost is you have options. Close second is do not undervalue your skills. And it kind of goes back to what I was saying before. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I'm quite biased. Prowess does... We've worked really hard to create a clear path for women so that we could help solve as many aspects of this super complicated problem for these women as possible. Mm-hmm. And so that is the reason why we have so many different, let's call them like departments within our platform, because we knew that just focusing on one was not going to solve the full problem. For example, if we were a talent marketplace and solely a talent marketplace, it would not solve their problem because there is so much confidence that needs to be built up, training that needs to get under their belt, network that needs to be created mm-hmm. before they even feel comfortable looking at jobs. So I would first look inward and be really honest with yourself mm-hmm. about what you want to go do. Mm-hmm. And through our training program, we walk people through this, but we also have a free starter course mm-hmm. to help women get a better understanding of point blank, am I ready to get back into the workforce or not? If you then decide yes, then we offer the certification that is really soup to nuts. What we've seen is over 70% of the women who go through our training, our work readiness training program, they secure jobs in less than 3 months. So, and I believe that that is because we're being so intentional about the complexity of that problem.
So if... Are those the only two ways right now to join Prowess Project? Either that free course or the paid membership?
Good, great question. So as a woman who wants to go back into the workforce, pivot in her career, is looking for something more flexible, it doesn't necessarily have to be a mom, and we're very focused on women. However, we allow anyone in. Mm-hmm. The ways that they can join our platform, let's say, is first through the training that you just described. Mm-hmm. They can join our community for free. That is the networking aspect of it.
Yeah.
And then also, before we send people to the training, if they're not sure if they need it, we have a quick 3-minute form that helps us get a better understanding of where women are in their, where's their starting point of this next career journey. And then that tells us, okay, cool, they're ready to be out in the workforce tomorrow. Or, hey, no, we actually think that a little bit of training would go a long way. So if we decide, hey, training is the way to go about it, they then go into the certification. If we say, oh, no, you're ready to go now, they build out a profile, which helps us gather all the same information we would get from the certification, but without the actual training.
That's incredible. I love that you find out their starting point, because not every member, not every customer is in that same starting point. And I wish more companies did that, actually.
Thank you.
Not every member is the same, right? They have different journeys.
Absolutely. And that was the big thing that was important to me when I was looking at metrics mm-hmm. of what are we measuring at Prowess Project. And our number one metric on the talent side is not, I mentioned the ones that get jobs. Yes, that's great. But our North Star is actually satisfaction rate because women are at so many different places in their journey. If they go through our training and realize, hey, I'm not ready to get back into the workforce, that's a success. If they realize, hey, yes, I'm ready at 10 hours a week, that's a success. If they want project-based work, that's a success. If they want full-time, that's a success. And so for us trying to fit them into one of those destinations, if you will, that's really goes completely against our mission.
I love it. I love that you start with self-awareness, but not only speak about it, you have put it into action for members to find out exactly where they are in that journey. That's awesome.
Thank you.
And I just forgot what the next question I was going to ask you. In terms of most common misconceptions out there, you know, from the employer perspective, what are some of the things that you hear or some of the most common misconceptions that are around hiring women returning to the workforce?
That they're not going to be dedicated to their work. Mm. I hear that a lot. Or that they're a flight risk because they're not going to be able to juggle all of that. Like, sure, I think you run that risk with anyone, not mm-hmm. just women. Mm-hmm. But as I was saying before, the vast majority of women who go through our program, we are vetting them and they have invested a lot of time in order to get to where they are. So they are ready to work, point blank. And I think that because of that, it becomes really obvious even in our interview process that that's the case and that people, employers don't need to worry about that.
I love it. I'm all about disrupting or getting rid of that misconception
because that's
absolutely not true.
Yeah. And two, I think also that the idea that flexible work means less output. Mm. That is not the, I mean, that could, that is so far from the truth.
That's a big one.
Yeah. And I think that for so long, it's been 9-to-5 butts and seats culture. And we, mm-hmm. we tend to think that if that's not the case for people, they're not working. When actuality, nights and weekends may be way better for people, or that could be how their brain actually functions better, the time mm-hmm. of the day that they're going to be most productive. So anyway, that's another one that we get quite a bit.
I love that one. And I hear all the time from my end and, you know, phrases like, oh, they're just part-time. And I'll just say, I roll my eyes whenever I hear that. And to use my wife as an example. So she's working for a company called Stitch Fix.
Oh, yeah.
And what I love about them is that she's considered full-time at only 32 hours a week.
Awesome.
And she has the ability to create her own schedule. Ugh. Like, it doesn't matter where she works, like early mornings, midnight, you know, there's some calls that she has to attend, right?
Of course. Yeah.
But other than that, she is empowered to create her own schedule. And I had never seen anything like that. And I want to see more of that. Where women, not just women, right?
But
everybody is empowered to, you want to be part-time, you can be part-time. You want flexibility, you got it. You want to create your own schedule, there you go, right?
Yes.
We don't have to be in an office 9-to-5.
Yes. I mean, really, if you think about it, it is next to impossible if you have two people who are working full-time and parent. Like, I don't know how people do that. That is not when the workday was designed, women were always at home taking care of the household. Well, now that that's not the case, the 9-to-5 is so arbitrary.
Like, it is.
Why can't we think past that? Why can't we challenge that? And so I really hope that, or I love actually that companies like Stitch Fix are doing that. Mm-hmm. And giving women opportunities and thinking outside the box and challenging those norms that, quite frankly, are pretty ancient at this point.
Super ancient. And with that, I wanted to ask you, how has being a founder changed your thinking in your work and in your life?
The first thing that immediately came to mind is I grew up and my parents always taught me the value of a dollar, but you don't know the value of a dollar until you are a founder. Like, I sit there and I'm like, $30 for a meal, or those $30 could go to Facebook ads. Like, that's how I'm thinking all the time. So I think I have a huge appreciation for money and for resources and time. I think time is truly the most valuable, unrenewable asset. And so again, I think that too, as far as me being a founder from a work perspective, I understand leadership a lot more now, and I understand and empathize with some of the decisions that I didn't understand while I was going through my career because, but I felt the repercussions of it, but I didn't understand the why. And now I understand the why, and I understand the pressure, and I understand the lack of resources. And really, I say this all the time, the job of a CEO and founder is just allocating resources. That's all I do. It's just time, money, tools, and figuring out who gets what.
That combination, allocate resources, time, you know, money, tools, people, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I know that Progress Project is hiring.
Yes.
Because you're growing.
Yes.
So what are some of the roles that you're hiring for, and what are some of the things that you're looking for in these hires?
Absolutely. So first and foremost, we are looking for more recruiters. And at Prowess, we are a tech company. Mm-hmm. And so for the longest time, we were calling our recruiters salespeople. Mm. And so they are this blend between a recruiter and a business development person, because this is not a staffing agency. It's a tech platform. So we do things differently than a staffing agency would. Mm-hmm. So first and foremost, that's what we're looking for. Second, a community manager. Mm-hmm. So Prowess started as a talent marketplace, but what we realized was so many women were coming to us who just wanted to connect with like-minded women. Mm-hmm. And so really our focus, which was the talent marketplace, which still brings in the vast majority of revenue, what we found was our engine and the soul and the heart of the business is actually the community. And I want to invest in that. I want to invest in surprise and delight. I want to invest in engagement. I want to invest in someone who is focused on how do I make these people's lives better, mm-hmm. and all day, every day. So that is a huge one. And then a marketer, I'm trying my best to do some of the marketing, but I'm just not doing Prowess the level at which I need to. And then also, lastly, an automation specialist, someone who can come in and support our COO, who is working like a crazy woman right now in helping some of our processes run smoother.
I love it. And I love that you brought up that you want to focus on community, because I'm a big community guy. And I truly believe that the future of business is for those companies that are community driven. So kudos to Prowess Project for that. And
well, so speaking of community, can I add one more thing?
Yeah.
So the first job that I had at a school was with a company called Spiceworks. They are an inventory management free tool for IT pros and community. And so I grew up, if you will, from a career standpoint, building a community. So I know how to do it. I know how important it is. And I'm so glad that I didn't have to force that at Prowess, because that's what I knew. It organically happened. Mm-hmm. And now we get to really like put fuel to the fire.
That's awesome. I love that your background is in community. And one thing I've learned is that just because you can do something, that doesn't mean that you should do it, right?
And it's, yes,
it's true for especially founders, right? Because
yes,
at first you need to do all the things, but as you grow and you hire teammates, hopefully, or the goal is that they do it better than you, right?
absolutely. And I'll be honest, sometimes I can get kind of the, you know, shiny object syndrome, but I made very, very clear that the people around me, like our leadership team, calls me out on that and is like, no, we need to focus. If you want to talk about that, let's book that in 2 months once this project's over. And so, yeah, just like for all your faults and all the things that are your weaknesses, just support yourself with people who are so much better than you are in those areas.
I love it. Two more questions before we wrap it up here, Ashley. One, what would be your number one piece of advice that you want our audience to take away from our conversation, especially women?
Just do it. Just put like in yeah, Nike should be paying me. Yes. No, I think that just start at small steps and really celebrate the small steps, because the small steps add up. Also, I think too, women in particular have such a great intuition. There are two times in my life where it would be harder to say no to an opportunity. Like life somehow made it harder to say no to an opportunity than say yes. And I followed it both times and once moved over to Europe and once built Prowess Project. And I'm so glad that I kind of let the universe guide me in that sort of way. And so if I could offer that to people, that's what I would say.
Yes, follow your intuition, because somehow it figures itself out and you end up more fulfilled.
100%.
Yeah.
And take the chance. Yeah. Take the chance. Yeah.
Do it. great. And last question here, I asked this to all of our guests, what is one book that you're reading or one book that has had a big influence in your life?
Oh, there's a couple, actually, no, Built to Sell.
Built to Sell.
Do you know that book?
I think I've heard about it.
It's a parable. It's fantastic. It's all about, this company who was an agency. They were not run the way that they needed to be. And over the course of the book, someone came in and helped the CEO make a scalable business that other companies would want to buy. Mm. I read that book. So remember that whale of a client at the agency?
Yeah.
They fired us on like a Thursday at noon. I read that book Thursday night, had the idea for Prowess Project Friday morning. No joke.
That is
no joke. Yes. I am meeting that author and shaking his hand someday and like telling him how much I appreciate it. It was such an inspiration for me.
I love it. I'll make sure to link it up in the notes, and I'm going to get myself a copy too, because I always love to read books like that.
Yeah. It's short too, which makes it even better. Gets to the point.
Definitely. Well, Ashley, this has been a great conversation. Thanks for sharing with us what you're up to with Prowess Project and how we can continue to empower women, especially those women that are thinking about returning to the workforce. And where can people find you or Prowess Project? What's the best way to reach out?
Absolutely. Well, first again, thank you for having me. This has been so much fun. You can find us at prowessproject.com. At Prowess Project on almost all socials. I'm on LinkedIn, Ashley Connell. And for those women out there, I know that it's really, really hard now, especially with COVID. It was hard before, but then COVID pushed out 5.4 million American working women, particularly moms. And I want to say, like, please do come to Prowess. Because we have a lot of roles open right now and need more and more women to fill them. So with that, I say opportunities are endless. And yeah, really looking forward to our next talk.
Absolutely. No, looking forward to our next talk, catching up down the road, you know, all the success with Prowess Project and what you're up to. But for now, thank you so much for the opportunity.
Yes, thank you so much. Speak soon.
Thank you for listening to the Ivy Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to our RSS feed on ivypodcast.com and all major podcasting platforms like Spotify and iTunes. As always, if you enjoyed this podcast, please give us a rating on iTunes.